Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is Radio Ma'arif, and I'm Muhammad Jawad Mu'afi with the program Question and Answer. Here we are again with our special guest, Hujjatul Islam Barati. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right. Well, you can visit our website, www.radioma'arif.ir. Well, you can also call us here at 0098-251-291-0551 or 0098-251-291-0552. The first question, without further ado, let me be dealing with is, let's say, about the argument with the non-Muslims. One of the fans said that I'm trying to find a hadith on whether arguing with the non-believers or non-Muslims is good or bad. My mother said there is a hadith that we can discuss or debate and argue religion with the non-Muslims, but once it turns into an argument or something like a quarrel, then we should avoid it. Can I have some proof of this so I can support my own idea and authenticate it?
Yes, of course. There is a verse in the Holy Quran which answers these questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his glorious prophet, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. We can say by meaning that your mother is right. You have to invite people to your own religion, or even to introduce your religion to them, or to answer their questions,
yes,
or to make a kind of mutual knowledge. You know them and their creeds and beliefs and culture, and they know you and your culture and beliefs. But the method is important.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse shows three methods to his prophet. And also followers of prophet, his nation, his ummah,
yes,
also should follow these three ways,
yes,
not others. The three ways are these. Ud'u ila sabil rabbik. You can invite people. You can say to people, come and see what is my religion, what is my beliefs, what is my way. Ud'u ila sabil rabbik. Sabil rabbik is a way of your Lord,
yes,
which is Islam. Islam is a lifestyle.
Yes.
Islam is a method of for life. So, but what are the methods of this invitation or this call? You can say Islamic call,
yes,
or Islamic information, giving information to people. What are the methods? Ud'u ila sabil rabbik. Bil hikmah. Hikmah is translated to wisdom,
mm-hmm,
to knowledge.
Yes.
Means deep and profound and everlasting knowledge.
Yes.
The knowledge which are very strong and stable and does not change rapidly. Mm-hmm. You can rely on. You
it's
can
sort of trust. Wisdom.
Yes. It is called wisdom.
Yes.
So by wisdom, wisdom is common among the whole nations and the whole mankind. You can call it rational way of thinking or
yes,
intellectual way of thinking or intellect. You can depend on and introduce your religion to people. This is the first method.
I see.
And the second method is to make debate and dialogue.
Yes.
But this debate and dialogue is explained, is specified in this verse said, ud'u ila sabil rabbika bil hikma wal mu'izati al hasana wa jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Jadilhum billati hiya ahsan means to make debate, to make dialogue, but in the best way. If you can find what is the best method for making dialogue with others,
yes,
you Muslims are ordered, are commanded, are urged, are obliged to follow this best method,
yes,
not lower methods,
uh-huh,
not bad methods.
Yes.
Maybe there are some methods which contains cursing or, for example, shouting or, for example, accusation or humiliation or hostility or some attacks and insults.
Yes.
You have no right to follow these methods.
Uh-huh.
But there are some methods which is based on mutual respect, mutual kindness, friendship, cooperation in, for example, discovering the reality. So you should follow these methods. So quarrel, as you told and is mentioned in words of your mother, yes, it is prevented and prohibited in Islam. You cannot follow this quarrel.
Yes.
But you have better methods. You have alternatives.
Yes.
So you choose them. You try to use them and discuss with them. And there is the third method remained, بالموعظة الحسنة, very good advice.
I see.
A very good preaching. Yeah. Preaching also has different methods.
Yes.
In some preachings, they make, for example, they humiliate people.
Right.
Some of the preachers.
Yes.
Or, for example, they make a kind of, for example, controversy for people or a kind of giving them hard time or making some bad manner of preaching.
Yes.
But you have to find better manners, better methods for preaching, inviting them, encouraging them, or even giving them some advices for their life, to say that this is better for you, this is in your benefit, this is in giving you more respect in life if you come to this. This is al-mu'izzat al-hasana. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ مَنْ ظَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. So you do your duty. Allah knows better who is guided and who is not guided.
Uh-huh.
You are not, for example, obliged to bring them to Islam or to the reality. Allah is the commander of hearts. He knows who is, for example, who deserves guidance and who does not deserve. So all of these methods are mentioned in Quran, and they are separated from each other by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. And Prophet is the best model for us in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
The methods he was using for preaching and da'wah and call is good for us.
Mm-hmm.
We can use them. Prophet was a friendly person, was a respectful and respecting person. He never humiliated or cursed his enemies.
Uh-huh.
And he was not upset with them. Yeah. And he, in all the time, even when they show hostility, they show bad treatment and manner, he was good to them and he treated them with kindness. Even when they broke his teeth, even when they fight against him, killed his relatives, his close relatives like his uncle and others, he never was tough with them. He never was cruel with them. He never cursed them. And he always forgave them. Even when he recaptured the city of Mecca, holy city of Mecca, he forgave all of them and told, I treat with you in the same manner which Prophet Joseph treated his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They expelled him. They wanted to kill him. They sold him.
Mm-hmm.
They made him a slave for others. But he told them, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم جميعا. I even never criticize you.
Uh-huh.
I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you all. And I say this to you.
Very
and forgive you all.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana, subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, 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 subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana, subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, 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 subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana, سبحان الله 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 الحمد لله.
The next question is about the signs of Imam Mahdi's arrival. What are the signs, first of all, and what should happen first in order for Mahdi to come and emerge, and what will inshallah happen when and after he comes?
There are some signs mentioned in books of tradition, like emergence of Dajjal, like for example some natural change in the world, like some wars before his emergence. Yes. And the most important one is that the world will become full of injustice and tyranny before he comes.
Yes.
And then he comes and makes it full of justice. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when he emerges, as I mentioned before, he brings a symbol of religious government,
yes,
of a divine government to this world,
mm-hmm,
and shows to the world that no government is able and deserves to bring justice and fraternity and equality to the world, but the government is authorized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is guided by pious and religious people, real pious and religious people, mm-hmm, which is called called Salihan.
Right.
And this is also promised in ancient books of Israel nation and also in Islam, in Quran, in Christianity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a chapter of Anbiya, chapter of Prophets, the verse number 105, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. So this is our theory, or our creed and belief about the future of the world.
Right.
In eschatology and in apocalypse,
yes,
we believe that in the final days of the world, there would be a very good government, a very good society,
mm-hmm,
a society full of security,
yes,
and justice and equality, peace, yeah, and friendship and peace, led by a divine leader, an imam from Islam, from household of Prophet, peace be upon him, and all of the people of other nations, other religions, will join this government,
yes,
this state, and it brings for them all prosperity, security, equality, and friendship, and peace.
Yes, sure. Thank you very much. And you made a brief hint, let's say, to the arrival of a Dajjal as one of the signs. Would you talk more about Dajjal? What will happen when and after he comes? And how long is Dajjal going to stay and cause or continue to cause his corruption?
Dajjal is called in Christian tradition Antichrist.
Yes.
Antichrist is a leader, is a personality which is against the religion at all, and against God, and against prophets of God,
right,
Jesus Christ. So they call him Antichrist, Dajjal.
Yes.
Before emergence of Jesus and Mahdi, peace be upon them all, this leader comes to the world and says that I am the God. There is no religion, no God. He fights religious values and ethics.
Yes.
And tries to fight all of the kinds of values and ethics of religion, and makes a lot of tyranny and cruelty and violence to the rights of people before emergence of these two leaders.
Yes.
But these two leaders, when they come, they join each other and defeat this leader.
Yes.
So Dajjal or Antichrist is a non-religious or anti-religious leader emerges before Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and before Jesus Christ.
Does Dajjal have a special meaning, the word itself? Or generally it's referred to as Antichrist?
Yes, the Dajjal in Islamic terminology means a leader which is deceiving people.
I see.
Because Dajjal has carrying this meaning with it. Mm-hmm. But in Christian tradition, Antichrist only is referred to the nature of this leader, which is atheist nature, and is fighting the religious values and beliefs.
Is there any mention of Dajjal to be a human being or a sort of creature which is different from human being in nature?
Yes, for sure. He is a leader. He is a human being.
Uh-huh.
But he is in a manner that most of the people don't like it, because his personality and his treatments are against the nature and against the human values, which all the people know it in the world. So it could be any of these leaders, especially those who are fighting against the human and religious values, and they are promoting devil values and devil methods and ideologies. Could be any one of them.
Is he going to have a lot of followers, and is there going to be a fight and a war between Dajjal and Imam Mahdi?
He does not have so many followers, but he has power.
I see.
He has power and makes a lot of problems for people. And what was the last question?
I said, is there going to be a war between Dajjal and Imam Mahdi?
Of course. As I told you, he is defeated in a war. He is one side of it, and another side are these two leaders. These two religious leaders. One is Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, and another one is Imam Mahdi from Islam.
I see.
They join hands with each other.
Right.
Religious people from Christianity, led by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Muslim, faithful, loyal Muslims.
Yes.
Led by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. They join hands and defeat this in a war. Defeat this leader.
I see.
And the war would happen in the Middle East.
In the Middle East?
Yeah.
I see. There's no mention of the country itself, is it?
There are some. Because, you know, there are a lot of traditions about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Right.
Not all of them are mutawatir or reliable.
I see.
But when we combine all of them to each other, we can make a kind of judgment.
Or generalization.
That there would happen a war and this leader is defeated.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله
The next question is about backbiting or al-ghiba. You know, one of the fans said that I've been doing lots of backbiting and talk behind many people's backs, friends and families alike, and I now feel very bad about it, and I want to repent for it. But I'm scared to ask people for forgiveness. You know, it might affect their relationship. What should I do to make my heart clean? Inshallah, I will become a better person or a better Muslim someday. But, you know, how should I start asking forgiveness? Without telling them how much I backbited about them. Well, may Allah reward you for sharing your knowledge with us. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you for this question. The solution is given by our imams and leaders of Islam from the household of Prophet, peace be upon him, especially Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. There are in Islamic traditions, especially Ahlul Bayt traditions, mm-hmm. that you should divide these backbitings in two groups. One group, which the people you talked about them, they are aware.
Yes,
they are informed
mm-hmm.
That you talked against them.
Yes,
one group. Another group, the group which are not aware of what you told. They never hear it. They are not informed what you told against them and in back of them. The first group, you should go and ask them to forgive you and is necessary.
Yes.
If possible. If possible, you should go and ask them to forgive you. But the for the second group is not necessary. And even maybe it is not valid because you make them angry or you make them upset or you make a kind of unrest for them because they are not aware. They didn't hear. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only to forgive you. And if you can, you retaliate in the society. You tell people that what I told was not true. That's uh-huh. enough.
Yes.
That's enough. This is another way for retaliation, for example, making repair to this. You tell people that, no, what I told you before was not true. I regret. It is not necessary to go and tell him the full story and make him upset or her and then ask him to her to forgive you. Because it is another additional insult for him or her.
Yes.
But if he is or she is informed, it seems necessary, if
right.
possible.
Right.
If possible. If not, only ask God to forgive you and tell the people that I was not right in my judgment or in my speech against this Muslim brother or sister.
I see. Thank you very much for that. Well, the next question is about friendship with non-Muslims. Is there any religious rule or ruling, let's say, regarding Muslim-Hindu relationship? I've always been told that I cannot eat with them or visit their temples or go to their ceremonies. I would like this clarified if it is possible. Thank you very much.
Of course, Quran and Sunnah, the tradition of Prophet, peace be upon him, had made clear for us that how we should make friendship with non-Muslims.
Yes.
Friendship with non-Muslims is not prohibited absolutely in Islam.
Yes.
But in some conditions is prohibited, in some conditions is encouraged, in some conditions is usual, is only valid for you.
Right.
Depends on the situation, depends on your situation, their situation, the relations existing between you and them. In Quran says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not prevent you to do good to people which they didn't fight against you and expel you from your own countries.
Right.
To make good to them and to be just to them.
Yes.
So everything is explained here. If there is good relation between Muslims and Hindus, they are not in a situation of insult and assault against Islam and Muslims, it's good to be in relation with them, to be a good neighbor for them, to be a good friend for them, mm-hmm. classmate, or
yes.
even to do favor to them, to know what is your religion, how your prophet trained you, educated you, is better. if you find that they are ready to know Islam better, even this is encouraged.
Yes.
Even this is recommended to inform them about real Islam and Muslims and prevent them from being misguided by others to come and deceive them and make a kind of hostility between you and them. So it's better you do this first and go and make friendship with them, because we need to live with people.
Yes.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that you Muslims should be in fighting against all of people of the world. No, because we Muslims are only 1/4 of the population of the world. About 6 billion people are living in this world. Only 1.5 are Muslims. So we cannot be hostile to all of them. And it is necessary to live in peace and friendship with them, to have a good life and good world for life. And if they are ready to make friendship with you, to know you, to understand you, it is encouraged. If they are, for example, permanently in a situation of war and hostility, so you take care. You try to establish a better relation with them. Yeah? And if you are weak ideologically, religiously, and they are powerful, you are afraid they deceive you or make a kind of, for example, affect or influence upon you.
Yes.
That's another situation. Uh-huh. So you should take care of your faith. You should take care of your religion. And if you go to their temples,
yes,
no problem. You can go to their temples. But you don't share with them worship of their gods.
I see.
Or committing, for example, bad habits. For example, if they drink wine, or if there is, for example, invalid relations between men and women like this. So you don't share with them. But, for example, if somebody is dead and they are going to respect him in this temple, and if you don't go there, it shows that you don't pay respect for this dead person. It's not good. You should go and pay respect, because he was or she was your neighbor. You should pay respect. But if they are doing bad things in this ceremony,
right,
or festival, no, you don't share with them. It needs a diplomacy.
Uh-huh.
To keep and preserve your own respect, honor, personality, independence, identity, and in the same time to live in a good relation with non-Muslims, to be a good citizen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it the same with the atheists too? Because we have a rule in Islam that you can't really shake hands with a non-believer. I mean, a person who doesn't believe in any of the religions of the world.
But why not? Yes, you made the same. But people are different. Some of them are religious. Some are not. Are not religious. Some of them are anti-religious people. So you have to learn and follow Islamic diplomacy with others. How to treat them?
Right.
To keep all of the necessary interests, because preserving your own honor and prestige is a value. Mm-hmm. Is necessary. Prestige of your own as an individual and prestige of your community as a Muslim community. You have a prestige. You should keep it, preserve it. And also there is another value. You have to live in a good relation with others.
Uh-huh.
So you make combination between of these two. And also you don't share them in harams.
Right.
Or in worshipping other gods, or denying God, or not to being thankful to God. No, you don't share them. Atheist is also kafir.
Right.
It's the same. You have to be good with them. You have to have a humanistic relation with them. It is necessary.
Right.
And especially when you want to introduce Muslim and Islam, you have to take care of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Atheists, how they know you? It's due to your behavior.
Right.
If you behave good, they know you good. If you don't behave good, they say that Islam is not good.
Right.
Islam is cruel. Islam is not taking care of etiquettes.
All right. Okay. The next question, is about, we don't have much time, of course, but I present it very briefly. is about the manners with parents. We have in Islam that the child has to be obedient to his or her parents. But what if a parent is wrong? Does the child still have to follow the parent's decision?
No, there is a chapter in Holy Quran called chapter of Luqman.
Right.
Luqman, Surat Luqman. A lot of these rulings are explained here by Luqman to his son. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Adam and revealed to all prophets that you should respect your parents and be good with them.
Yes.
Treat them very well in
right.
a good manner. But if they ask you to do sins or to make, for example, polytheism or
right.
make shariks or partners for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't obey them. But by any way, be good to them. Have a good treatment with them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. By any way, treat them by respect and kindness and good behavior.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. This is Radio Ma'arif. You were listening to a discussion with Hujja al-Islam Barati. I am Muhammad Jawad Mafi, hosting the program Question and Answer. You can send your comments and ideas to the following email address, radioma'arifen, all as one word, there is no space in between, at rib.ir. You can also call us at 0098-251-291-0551 or 0098-251-291-0552. Thank you very much for listening to us. Have a nice time.
تغفر فألهم أنت ذاك وإن تغضب فمن يرحم سواك إلهي عبدك الجاني أتاك مقرا بالذنوب وقد دعاك فإن تغفر فأهل أنت ذاك وإن تغضب فمن يرحم سواك إلهي عبدك الجاني أتاك مقرا بالذنوب وقد دعاك فإن تغفر فأهل أنت ذاك وإن تغضب فمن يرحم سواك إلهي عبدك الجاني أتاك إلهي عبدك الجاني أتاك مقرا بالذنوب وقد نعاك فمن يرحم سواك.